You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner here, alongside Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall, to look ahead to the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open and the John Deere Classic. But first of all, it's a warm welcome to my two compadres here in the studio. And first of all, Mr. Grenham, on absolute fire at the moment with Jeff Maggott, followed up by Bernd Wiesberger in the Open de France last week, and a place with Russell Henley. You're putting us to shame at the moment, Mike.
Easy game, Dave. Easy game. Got it nailed.
Let's hope it continues throughout the summer.
It's not an easy game. I mean, sarcastic. But it's nice to get a winner, isn't it? And it's you're always welcome. Dave will be frustrated because Wiesberger was a very close player you don't want to win, wasn't he?
He was, but you got him, so that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. So fingers crossed we'll kick on. You know, it's hard getting winners on this.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough.
150 players every event, isn't it? So it's good to get an odd one.
And he was impressive, wasn't he, on the Sunday in particular?
He was impressive, Dave. He was great. Yeah, I think he'll have a chance in the Open myself.
Yeah, he hits the ball so well from tee to green, doesn't he, if the putter's on.
Yeah, absolutely. And showed a bit of bottle. He needed that win, as we said last week. I think it's 3 years since he'd won. So it was overdue for a player of his ability. Hits it a long way. Yeah, he's got everything, hasn't he? That win might take a bit of pressure off, so good player.
In the States, Danny Lee survived a four-man playoff, Dave, with Robert Streb, Kevin Kisner and David Hearn to take out the Greenbrier. It's always a difficult event, that one, to assess. But Danny Lee, you've tipped him a couple of times, haven't you, this season? And it comes good at the Greenbrier.
Yeah, it was a slightly frustrating week for me last week, to be fair, with Danny Lee. You never quite know when they're going to pop up, do you? Maybe you should just blanket back them in every event, but
you can't, though, can you, Dave? Because
there'll be about 20 you'd be back people.
In, and you won't be making it. You know, you need a winner every week to be stay level, wouldn't you? It's just one of the things of golf betting that is so frustrating, isn't it? When you've been backing someone and they win the week, you're not on it. There's nothing more annoying, but the reality is you can't back them all every week, can you? You've got to make choices.
And Rory McIlroy as well, just before we get stuck into these two events.
I'm not backing him.
No, he ruptured his ligaments in his ankle. I want the pot off before I think about contemplating backing him.
Never back a man on crutches.
No, never back a man on... That's golden rule number one, isn't it?
It's one of the rules, that, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully we'll see him in the not-too-distant future, but it looks unlikely that he's going to make the Open Championship, Dave.
It's funny, you know, when you find this stuff out, when not quite where were you when Kennedy was shot, but it was kind of I was sort of doing a bit of work. I wasn't on Twitter, and then I went into Richie Ramsey's Twitter feed to see if he was saying anything about this week's Scottish Open. And there's a picture of Rory in a with a big boot on his foot and on crutches, and I thought, oh, okay, # Bants. It's a bit of golf,
right? Okay.
He sort of mocked up a picture of himself. It took me about a minute for it to dawn to sort of. Oh, God, he's blimey.
Yeah, and he's likely to miss the Open Championship. And he does miss this week's Scottish Open, definitely. Let's get stuck into the event. Justin Rose is 12-1 favourite here with William Hill. Phil Mickelson, 18-1. Brandon Grace is 20s. Ricky Fowler, 22-1. Shane Lowry, 25s. Jimmy Walker, 28-1, along with Rafa Cabrera-Bello. Brooks Koepka is 30-1, and it's 35-1 and bigger the remainder. This event, Dave, has increased in stature since Lynx courses were used, and the last five Open champions have competed in this event prior to next week's major championship. Castle Stewart used in 2011, 2012 and 2013. Royal Aberdeen used last year, and this year the players are heading to Gullain for another true Lynx test, Dave.
Yeah, I sound like I'm sort of bragging again, but I have played.
Oh, here we go.
Every time we do an
Jimmy
event,
Jimmy Tarbuck, here he is.
He's played there every single week.
Yeah, I won't be saying that next week. Oh, I will, though.
Dearie me.
Yeah, it's, well... It's a wonderful course.
Don't talk to him, Dave.
Unlike the many other Lynx courses I've played, no. It's a very undulating course. That's a big difference with it.
When did you play there, Dave?
2 years ago.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of one of those ones where... a lot of American tourists are sort of, it's like a bucket list job, to be honest. Right. American tourists think we've got to play Galain. Because there's three courses there. So this one's it's mostly Galain number one, which is, it's 16 holes of Galain number one and a couple of others from number two. But yeah, very undulating, but greens are in brilliant shape. It's just a real classic links test. You can actually, on one of the holes, you can actually look down and see Muirfield.
Right, okay.
So you imagine,
that close?
Yeah, right. It's right at the same town. So you imagine Phil Mickelson will have a kind of wistful look across, won't he, and be reminded of his open win.
And when you think about comparing this golf course to next week's golf course, St Andrews, because players obviously using this as a prep now, given that we're playing on links courses, they seem very different as well. Next week's a flat golf course, a bomber's paradise. This one's shorter and it looks a little bit tighter as well.
Well, there's quite a mix of holes. Some are tight. I think the opening hole that they're using, they're not using number one, which was kind of just sort of in the town almost. So they're using number two as the first.
Right.
But that's quite a narrow fairway, but there are fairways where it's wide, wide open.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a mix, but yeah. It is different to St Andrews, but there are some common themes, so I would think this is a useful warm-up.
The weather forecast suggests it's going to be a mixture of sunshine and rain, as you would expect, and it's going to be squally. I think the wind's going to be an issue throughout the week as well.
When I played there, we were stood, I think the high point is the seventh tee, and it was a nice day, and there was suddenly like a massive hailstorm. It's kind of one of those kind of classic Scotland four seasons in a day kind of thing. So the weather can just sort of switch like that, really can.
How many picks have you got, Mike, here?
Two.
I've got two as well.
Yes, two for me.
Okay,
yeah.
Two. Mike, lead us off here, as you're
a
champion.
No one wants to hear our picks, Dave. Just let Mike speak.
I'm picking a player, Dave, who you like, Dave T, as my first pick. Jimmy Walker is my first pick.
Okay.
I think it's going to be fairly windy this week at Galain. He's a Texan. He's played very well in Hawaii, which is always pretty windy. Won the Sony twice and second in the Hyundai. Yet to be fully proven on links, I suppose, but he was 26 in the Open Championship last year, where a fairly moderate round four, while others were climbing up the leaderboard, dropped him back to 26th place. But he actually started pretty well and played pretty well in that Open, if you remember. Mm. 41st in this event last year, again very solid, and we know how he's elevated himself now to his 12th ranked in the world. I think a 28-1 price about Jimmy Walker, who's proud of his Scottish roots, I think, isn't he? He'll be wanting to win this week.
Yep.
Let's not forget, in his last seven events he's won in Texas and been second in Byron Nelson. A couple of missed the cut at CPC and didn't play that well at Chambers Bay, surprisingly, on his last outing, but nevertheless in his last seven outings as a first and a second in very, very good events. So at 28-1, I think he's on current form really one of the best players in the field, and I have a funny feeling that Jimmy Walker's going to run a big race this week.
Jimmy Walker 28-1 for Mr. Grenham to lead us off. Mr. Tindall?
Yeah, for me, Shane Lowry. In some ways, I can. If Mike said to me, well, Jimmy Walker's bigger than Shane Lowry, that's wrong. I've got the better value. I'm not
only
sure
in betting terms.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. His beard's not as good. I'd find it kind of a little bit hard to argue on one level. On the other level, though, Shane Lowry absolutely loves playing in Scotland. Absolutely loves playing in the British Isles. In Scotland, last four events there, he's come in the top 10 every time, and I think it's something like in the British Isles, I think his last, something like his last 16 events, something like 11 top 10s.
Right, okay.
He's just on fire. He just absolutely loves it there. Clearly, he's a great wind player, great links player. And I think he got a real big boost from playing so well at Chambers Bay. He said that was a real big confidence boost. First time he'd really been in proper contention in a major. A putt here or there, and he could have been right in the mix. So I think he'll be a big runner next week as well. And I'm
certainly hope so.
Yeah,
I backed him at 100-1.
Yeah,
so
I'm on a big price. I'm slightly fearful he'll blow his cover for next week. So I want to get him now. Cause sometimes you can think, oh well, I'll just leave him until next week when you're forgetting the actual job in hand.
Yeah.
When he in similar conditions in Scotland, links, windy, get him while you can now as well. I know he's a bigger price next week, but I think he's got a great chance here, 25-1.
Shane Lowry at 25-1. I'm going to go with an Englishman. I'm going Andy Sullivan as my first pick here at 45-1. I fancy he'll have a big week this week, and even though the price is nothing to go absolutely bonkers about, I like his profile coming into this championship. He's done everything well this season, ranks 32nd in greens in regulation, 39th in driving accuracy. He played well last week in France, which I think is a good omen. It wasn't windy, that windy in France last week, or not as windy as it has been in the past, but I think it's a good indicator of what's to come this week. And he's got two wins on tour this season, albeit both of them in South Africa, so he does need to take that next step. But his ball striking augurs well. Like the fact that he finished sixth at the Lynx Test in Ireland a few weeks ago as well, where he opened with a 74 and did really well to get back in contention there to finish in a tie for sixth. The guy with an upwardly mobile profile, Andy Sullivan, is my first pick at 45-1. I'll play my point each way.
Fair call that, Dave. I've gone for an Englishman as my second pick, actually. Tommy Fleetwood is my second pick. A very good Lynx player.
He's mine as well.
Is he?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Well, I won't say too much because you can have a go as well, but he's in great form. 11th in the BMW in Germany recently. Hard on the heels of a good performance at Chambers Bay in the US Open, a good performance in Ireland where he just missed the top 20, and a good performance at Wentworth in their PGA, at their BMW event, to where he was 6th. So, great record in the Dunhill. I just think he's touted as a great Lynx player, and the evidence is there to see, isn't it? So at 45-1, I think he's a good price.
Yeah, I do as well. Not really much to add. It's just he's playing Scotland so good. That's the overwhelming feeling with Fleetwood, and you get the feeling
he's
as well.
He's won in Scotland, hasn't he?
Yeah, you get he won in Glen Eagles. You get the feeling that real breakthrough performance is just around the corner with him.
Yeah.
And what better place for it to come where he's performed so well? As you mentioned, Alfred Dunhill Lynx, last 4 years he's finished second and fifth a couple of times as well.
Superb,
so
yeah.
You can play him each way, 45-1. I think it's a good price. So Tommy Fleetwood, my second selection as well. Dave.
Oh, I'm reeling, Dave. When I got the train about half an hour ago, the player I was going to pick was 66-1. I've just looked now, he's 40s.
Has he?
What do you do?
Who is it?
Mark Warren.
Right, okay.
So I don't know what to do now. I'm thrown. Obviously,
well, you might as well pick him if you put him on the list.
I was going to say, he's come third here, both at Royal Aberdeen last year and also at Castle Stewart.
Yeah.
He's a Scot playing in Scotland. I've just got this feeling he's got a big win in him at some point. He really has. And he can thrive in front of his home fans. Sounds confident. Had a good US Open. He's not a player... Well, he was very consistent at the start of the season, but he does throw in missed cuts, but I don't think we need to get too scared by that. And I think he missed one last time. But I just think he'll be ready for this. He'll be really up for it. And he's a great price at 66-1. And he's a less good price at 40-1. But I'm kind of committed
now. Yeah, you're
now,
committed.
So, yeah, so...
9:34, that changed, Dave.
See, I got my train.
Only an hour ago. Yeah. Never mind.
Anyway, Mark Warren, 40-1.
We'll pretend it was 66.
Yeah, we'll chop all this out for next week if he's won.
Yeah.
Mark Warren, 40-1. Lots of names on my mind in terms of the outsiders. I say outsiders. Christopher Broberg, 60-1. I thought you might pick him.
Yeah,
I went with him last week at a similar sort of price. I talked about his affection with Lynx Golf on last week's golf podcast as well, and he did play solidly without threatening last week to finish in a tie for 12th. But this is a slightly stronger field, and numbers weren't that good last week for Broberg, so he just missed out. I didn't want three picks in the event, and I preferred Sullivan and Fleetwood, but he was definitely third on the list. Mike, who came closest for you?
Luke Donald was very close, very, very close. He was the last man off. I like Shane Lowry and Brandon Grace in any Lynx event, but they're possibly a little bit short in the market for this week, so I left them. And three outsiders that catch my eye, headed by Thomas Aitken, who definitely likes Lynx and is in really good solid form. I might have to have a little saver on him. He's about 100-1, I think, isn't he?
I'm just having a quick look now. He is 100-1,
yeah. He plays well in Lynx tournaments, and he's been playing really solid. Anytime soon, Matteo Manassero is going to bounce back to form, and he's a massive price this week. He's about 200-1, I think, last time I looked. And again, a really good links player at his best. So I don't be surprised to see Matteo run well. And another guy who plays well, hits it a good long way, 202 on Matteo, would you believe that, a couple of years ago. Another player that hits it a good long way, not that Matteo does, but a player that is a very big price at 252 on, is Lucas Gerrigard. He's stacking up some decent links form, you know. And he might not win, but I might back him for the top 10.
What about Monty in there at 200-1 as well?
I've never had Monty down as a fantastic links player, particularly if it's windy.
Yeah.
If it's benign conditions, he'd have a chance. But when he hits the ball so high, he was never very good in the wind, was he? Mm.
Gerrigard is 250-1, and as Mike said, Manasero 200-1. Dave.
Yeah, obviously you're thinking links. Chris Wood 66-1, recent winner.
Yeah.
Not got a very good event in this record, which doesn't particularly make any sense, but I think he should go well.
No, not when you say event in this record, it doesn't.
I've not recovered mentally from Warren Mark.
We were sitting here thinking that doesn't make sense. No, he hasn't. But he has missed the cut a couple of times, hasn't he, since his win as well.
Yeah.
But he's a proper Lynx player, isn't he?
Yeah.
You do need Lynx. It's stating the obvious, isn't it? But links form in these events is so important.
It is.
Donald is a good price at 40s, I think. You look at his record in this event.
Very
brilliant.
Good. Really seventh in the Travels last time.
Yeah, which got him into next week's Open, which was a bit of a boost for him. So I think, Donald might go well as well. Mickelson's interesting, obviously, but he's bound to go back, isn't he, to Muirfield and shake the tea lady's hand and everything and be thoroughly charming.
Yeah.
So he's bound to get a good vibe, isn't he, I think. I mean, I guess he would go into my Who Don't You Want to Win, because 18s isn't too bad, is it, at all?
No, Mickelson 18-1, Justin Rose is 12-1 at the top of the betting. Let's have a look at the John Deere Classic then, which is this week's PGA Tour event. And Jordan Spieth heads the betting here at 3-1 with William Hill. Zach Johnson is 9-1, Kevin Kisner is 18-1, Ryan Moore 25s, Brian Harman 33-1, Harris English, Justin Thomas and Steve Stricker, all 35-1. Robert Streb and Tony Finau are both 40-1, and it's 50-1 and bigger the rest. Spieth has decided to repay the tournament's faith in him and keep this date in his diary, despite many people, Dave, I think, suggesting it's not the ideal prep for next week's Open Championship and his quest, obviously, to land the Grand Slam.
If it was a normal player, I'd say, oh, what's he doing? Jordan Spieth just sort of makes a mockery, doesn't he, of sort of logic.
I don't think it matters at all.
And clever sort
in all
of things. I think it's Todd Hamilton who was the last Open winner to play in this event. So what? Jordan Spieth just rewrites history, doesn't he?
He does, doesn't he, Mike? I mean, I don't think. Would you see this as a negative Spieth playing this week?
No, not at all. They're getting a plane over, aren't they, on Sunday night, nice and relaxed, playing good conditions, probably score a low score, which will boost his confidence. Yeah, he's better doing that than other things he could be doing. So, yeah, I don't think it's a problem at all.
Mm. TPC Deer Run, by the way.
And it shows a bit of loyalty as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's nice,
it's admirable,
it?
Yeah.
Very definition of a birdie fest this week as well. It played as the second easiest of the par 71s on the schedule last year. The cut is always under par as well. And I was looking back through last year's statistics and I found it amazing that Brian Harman recorded a negative strokes gain putting stat despite managing to post 22 under par to win, which may be testament to his ball striking last year. That looks like an anomaly, though, and Johnson, Zach Johnson, Jordan Spieth and Steve Stricker in the years prior to last year's championship, they putted brilliantly en route to success. And that's what we're looking for this week, isn't it, Dave? Someone that finds a lot of greens and puts well.
Yeah, I mean, I've kept it very simple with my pick. And what the odds compilers taketh with one hand, they giveth with another. And this player has actually drifted.
Oh, that's nice.
So he was on the borderline, but now he's drifted to 40-1.
We've dragged Dave back in. He was in the depths of despair. That's he's back.
I've been watching a lot of Sopranos recently, and that's the...
He dragged me back in.
That sounds... Great saying.
So I'm going to go for Tony Finau.
Tony Finau.
Appropriately enough, 40-1 Tony Finau, which I think is very acceptable price.
Yeah.
You want birdies? Who's made most birdies on the PGA Tour this year? Tony Finau. So let's get him in there. 14th in birdie average, 14th in par breakers. Mm. So he does look a very good fit for this event. It is his first visit to the course, but we've been saying that all year with him. And what's he got now? 7 top 25s in a row.
Yep.
He's kind of circling the trophy, isn't he? He's going to, at one point, he's going to dive in and just grab it. Mm. So I think 40-1 on Tony Finau. Quite simple, really. A player in good form who makes loads of birdies at a fair price, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Tony Finau, probably last off my list this week.
Okay,
so 40
well, that's maybe a good omen.
Tony Finau.
Player you don't want to win?
We could be, could well be. Oh. Mike?
I will go firstly. I've got these events are trickier, aren't they? Because it is a little bit of a putting contest. But I'll go for Jason Bourne as my first pick. The two I've picked are about the same. Decent prices and in decent form. Bourne was, I think he was co-leading after round three last week at the Greenbrier, but a 71 didn't get the job done there. But putted very well over the week, fourth in strokes game putting, eighth in putts per greens in regulation. Got a couple of tour wins to his name, but back in 2010 would be the last one, but maybe due to get another one on the board. His stats are all good, he puts well, he's top 25 for birdie average. Interestingly enough, he's second on the proximity to the hole stat, which is obviously doesn't half help if you get birdies, you can hit it close. Scrambling well, which is another thing. You've got to put well and scramble well here, I think. You could argue that what happens from tee to green or you know isn't that important. You've got to, if you miss the green, you've got to get it up and down, and if you get it on the green, you've got to put the lights out, haven't you? So I think on all those kind of criteria, he's got a good chance. He's decent finishes in three of the last 5 years in this event. I'm hoping that Jason Bourne can notch up a first win since 2010.
Good stuff, Jason Bourne, 50-1 here with William Hill. Just one pick for me at a pretty big price as well. I'm going with just going half a point each way in this event on Cameron Percy at 250-1, the Aussie. More instinct than a statistical selection, really, but he's playing some very strong golf at the moment. Finished tied 10th at the Byron Nelson, tied for the 18th at the St Jude, and he's made cuts the last couple of weeks without really contending at the Travelers and at Greenbrier. He actually played well for a couple of rounds at the Greenbrier, but played his way out of contention on Sunday. Finished 7th here in 2011, which augurs well, and I thought it was worth a pop at a massive price at 250-1. We've had a couple of Aussie winners in this event at big prices as well, when John Sendon won and Mark Hensby, I think, won this event in the mid-noughties as well. So I'm hoping another one can pop up at a huge price. Cameron Percy, 250-1 is my only selection in the event.
If I don't mind jumping in, Dale, probably your turn, but it's probably more logical for me to say that I've actually tipped an Aussie as my second pick. Stephen Bowditch is my second pick, who's been in very good form this season. And indeed won the Byron Nelson pretty recently. Again, a player that seems to do well in low-scoring events. He was second in the Fry's Open, which was double digits under par earlier this season, and then won at Byron Nelson with an 18 underscore. So, yeah. And interestingly, has played, he was 12th and 11th in the last two runnings of this event, so he has got course form, which was a bit of a bonus as well, considering that his game's definitely coming on, isn't it? He's found his way, if you like. And since his win in Byron Nelson, moderate in Memorial, then very decent finishes in the St Jude, the Travellers, and last weekend in the Greenbrier, was very, very solid and was right up there on the putts for greens in regulation stats. So, yeah, I'm very hopeful that Stephen Bowditch can get another win on the board. He's improving, I think.
Yeah, definitely. 50-1, Stephen Bowditch to go with Jason Bourne at 50-1 for Mike. Have you got any more picks, Dave?
Well, can I make a maverick pick?
Yeah, go on, make a maverick pick.
And it's a double.
What is a maverick pick?
A maverick pick is a double, which involves sort of two players who you were sort of humming and haring about.
Right, okay.
I don't know, there's something quite symmetrical about it all. Phil Mickelson, who I mentioned, 18-1.
Yes.
In the Scottish. And then in the John Deere, Kevin Kistner. Obviously, Kevin Kistner is just amazing at the minute, isn't he?
Without, unbelievable, isn't
without
he?
Without winning. Third playoff loss in the space of, what, a couple of months last week.
Yeah.
I just think 18-1 on its own is a bit sort of... So if you combine 18-1 Mickelson and 18-1 Kevin Kistner, you get a lovely 360-1 double.
Right.
Which is 360 degrees, the shape of a golf ball. It just seems a nice sort of throw a fiver at it or whatever you want.
This is a maverick pick,
Not an each way double, just a win double. Point each way double.
Yeah, you've got to have
I think
you've got
to
those
do
prices,
each way a bit, haven't you?
Yeah,
if they both finish second, you'd
Because I've only put three picks up, I think that is
That's
my
fine,
fourth pick. Yeah,
fine.
A fancy double.
I was very close to picking Ches Reavy in this event,
but he's only
80 to 1 here, and that just put me off slightly. He's been ducked in the market a little bit, but I really wanted to get involved with him. I definitely had a pop at three figures, I think. At the Travellers, he made it two top 25s back-to-back for the first time in 2 years, Reavy. And then he backed that up last week with a tie for 22nd at the Greenbrier. Closed there with 67-66 at the weekend. Record here is really strong as well.
Yeah.
Fifth in 2011. That's when he was playing his best golf.
Yeah.
15th in 2013. That was his second best finish that season as well, that 15th place finish. Yeah. And if he'd have been a little bit bigger, he'd have been in Ches Reavy.
I would have thought he would be one of Mike's favourite golfers, as in
Don Reavy.
Don Reavy's house. Yeah. Let's go around to Don Reavy's house.
He was, joking apart, he was on my list. Yeah. He was very high on my list for the reasons Dave said. Is he playing on a medical exemption?
Yeah, he is playing on a medical exemption.
So he's pretty motivated to get out of that,
He's taking advantage of it now, isn't he, as well? You look at his stats and he doesn't pop up anywhere because he had a string of miscuts at the start of the season. He's only just found his form in the last month.
And I'm going to call him the Don from now on.
The Don. I like it.
Yeah. No, he was very close, guys. He was for me. JJ Henry was probably even closer because I know he plays this course pretty well and was an eye-catching 13th last week. And another big price won. Well, maybe not so big, but you know how much I like another Piercy, Scott Piercy. Yeah. I'm sure he's going to win soon. I'd hate to miss it. And this week, he has some form here as well. Wouldn't surprise me if he plays well. But what we haven't mentioned, and we've all done our picks now.
Yeah, we have.
The top two in the market are very strong this week, aren't they?
Particularly Spieth, I think. Mm. I mean, Zach Johnson's not putting as well as he has been doing in previous years.
Amazing form here, though.
He has got unbelievable form here, Zach Johnson. I'd rather be with Spieth.
3-1-2-2.
I'd rather be with Spieth than Johnson, personally.
Well, at least a third of the price. We're all not going to lure us into a free lunch bet on that one.
I mean, at the prices. I'd rather back Spieth at 3-1 than Zach Johnson at 9-1.
I think they're both. You couldn't argue with either of the prices, could you? 3-1's right for Spieth and 9-2. Wouldn't want to be laying any more than that for Johnson, would you? That record.
No. On the other hand, I think I'm glad they're there because then they give a bit of value on the others, don't they?
Absolutely, it's one of the things that Rory will take out of the open market if he doesn't play. He takes quite a bit of percentage out, doesn't he? And then other people's prices are shorter.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I suppose it's a good thing if you wanted to oppose.
Yeah, which I would have
McElroy.
Been doing. In any links event, I'd be looking to. Probably opposing. So
I was thinking with a good weather forecast, that would be the easiest 5-1 or 11-2 winner you'd get all season.
You know what?
I'd hack up.
I'd have picked him if it had been.
I thought it absolutely
went. Weather dependent.
Well, I think so.
Long range forecast isn't bad, apparently. No, better than this week in Scotland.
I really wouldn't. I hear what you're saying. St Andrews is a very easy course, and if it's decent weather, that probably would be an the criteria of the weather is critical with Rory, isn't it? Links in the wind, I don't fancy him at all. Benign conditions, a bit like Monty, he's got every chance, hasn't he? Because he's got length and everything else. So, but unfortunately, he's only got 1 foot.
He has, which is a negative, isn't it? That's got to be a negative.
I think so, yeah.
Going into a championship of that nature. Before we recap the selections, then, who's the player you don't want to win this week? Be it in the John Deere, be it in the Scottish Open, or both, maybe as well. Mike,
I would probably go. Scott Brown maybe in the John Deere, who I didn't mention, but he was very close on my list. Sean Stephanie was very close on my list as well. In fact, Sean Stephanie would be the one. He was the last man off the list.
Okay.
It's Sean Stephanie in the John Deere and in probably Donald in the Scottish.
Mine would be pretty straightforward here. It would be Broberg in the Scottish Open, I think, definitely. And I suppose Tony Finau. Even though you've gone for him, Dave, Tony Finau in the John Deere Classic. What about you?
I always seem to look at the front of the market because I won't play them at too short. And I think if Zach Johnson won at 9-1, I'd feel that was an easy one that got away.
Yeah. Okay, let's recap the selections then. Mike, your picks first of all. Better go to you first this week.
Are we doing tournaments or all our picks at once?
Let's do all the picks at once all this week, so I won't miss anyone out.
I'll keep it simple. I have a point each way in all of these. Jimmy Walker 28-1 in Scotland and Tommy Fleetwood at 45s. And in the John Deere, Jason Bourne at 50s and the same price for Stephen Bowditch.
I'm going with Andy Sullivan at 45-1 in the Scottish Open, a point each way, and a point each way match Mike with Tommy Fleetwood at 45-1. Just the one selection in the John Deere Classic, half a point each way, Cameron Percy at 250-1. Dave?
Yeah, I'll go a point each way, Mark Warren at 40s, a point and a half each way, Shane Lowry at 25s, a point each way, Tony Finau at 40s, and then that Maverick 1 point each way double on Kistner in the John Deere and Mickelson in the Scottish.
You're going to have to think of a little tagline for that, aren't you? The Maverick double, like that, yeah.
MD.
18-1.
Need a bit of alliteration, you, really? I might go back a couple of those outsiders that we mentioned, because there's some massive prices there with some, isn't it? And I'm also going to have a look at, there's a seniors event this week, which I like.
Oh, right.
There is.
Encompass Championship.
That, you'll be tweeting about that, will you?
I'll tweet about that.
That's at M Grenham if you want to follow Mike on Twitter. If you want to follow myself, it's at D Kellner. And
Maverick,
of course,
Dave Tindall.
Maverick Dave Tindall. That's not his Twitter handle yet.
It should be.
It's still
if this
at
comes
Dave
off,
Tindall.
I'm change.
Change
it.
Yeah. at Dave Tindall Maverick.
That would work.
By Dade, Paul Match.
If that double comes off, you've got to, haven't you? 360-1.
That would be a prize.
That would be a prize. It's at Dave Tindall Golf if you want to follow Dave on Twitter. Thank you for joining us on the Golf Podcast this week. It's the Open Championship next week. Looking forward to that immensely from St Andrews, and we'll speak to you again ahead of that major championship next week. Best of luck with your bets, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.